Hi, I'm Philip Hong with another episode of Humble and Fred Legends presented by the Retirement Sherpa. Gake Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bowdog, and Doer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. On today's edition, we're going to go back to 2012, and we had some very interesting and famous people as well from 2012. And in the archive today, we're going to hear from Frank Sinatra Jr. He was an incredible star. As well, you're going to hear about God watching David White saving Fred on Highway 401, you know, our friend Dave White. As well, the boys practice some scripts for commercials, old friends like Jason Kinder and Mike Wixon, and the wild political scandal of 2012. It was SOPA and PIPA. So much for polarization and Donald Trump. Anyways, here we go. Let's start with some very important announcements.
Chamberplan.ca, that's where to go if you have a small business and you've considered a group benefits plan. It can be done for your small business. Look at us. Three employees, basically, and we have one. Yeah, it can be done because this is strength in numbers. 30,000 small Canadian businesses together create the image of one large company, which means they can go out and purchase these plans at a very affordable price for all. Again, go to chamberplan.ca today. You can get a free quote almost instantly. And you can buy in at different levels. This is dental, and this is, prescriptions, and, you know, even travel insurance. The travel insurance is a bell ringer. It's unbelievable. You know, as things open up, yeah, it's a great dimension to this. So Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Go to chamberplan.ca. They've been around for 40 years, very stable. And again, strength in numbers, 30,000 Canadian businesses. You can be one of those
soon. You can be one of those what?
Soon.
Soon. Of course, Phil Hong has nailed it, everyone. Phil Hong will tell you.
Humble Freddy G's. Humble Freddy G's. Humble Freddy G. Humble Freddy G.
That's the promo
Humble
code.
Humble Freddy G.
Humble Freddy G.
That part worries me a bit.
I have a humble.
And if you're looking to get the watch, several people have referenced in emails, which I don't think we're going to get to, but several people referenced that they're waiting for their health gauge watch to arrive. Get yours now. Avoid disappointment. What a great gift for somebody. This will make a great gift. Healthgauge.com. Humble Freight HG is a promo code that gets you 15% off at checkout. Go do this now. Check it out online. Find out why we're wearing it and why you should too. What a great way to share health information with others. The app, the watch, in the cloud. Healthgauge.com and Humble Fred HG. Thank you, Mr. Hong.
This is Humble and Fred.
And now another special edition of HumbleAndFredRadio.com.
You're now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
You know, we have too many things in here that make clicking sounds. and I think when we when we get bigger, if that ever happens, we really should redo, you know, some of this stuff in here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
You feel good?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go, a very special edition of our program, special for several reasons that you're about to hear, but all I can say is it's great to have you and you here.
You and you and you.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Yes, thank you. It's great to be here. It's great to be alive, yes.
We'll reveal why. I say that. Also, a very special guest on today's show.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra Jr. How did we pull this one off?
Are you shitting me?
No.
The commercial radio world shunned them. Their own fans thought they were dead. But now they have risen to bring their brand of radio to the internet.
It's HumbleAndFredRadio.com.
So it's like radio, but not.
That's right, genius. It's Humble and Fred like you've never heard them before. Uncut, uncensored, unrestricted.
It's a revolution.
Revolution. Humble and Fred Radio.com. Now, bringing you the best radio show that's not on the radio. Here are Humble and Fred.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's funny. One of our friends, Larry Lutstein, wrote me and said, when he first, because he heard us talking about me thinking that what they were saying, what we were saying is humble. I couldn't figure out what was being said. He thought it sounded like humble is dead.
Yeah, like a Paul McCartney thing from the late 60s.
And I thought, interesting.
If you play the podcast backwards, there's all sorts of messages.
Yeah. If you pay, if you play the podcast backwards, it's really successful.
Yeah. Sounds way better. Sounds Cantonese.
It's right. It's in Mandarin. Listen, people, let's get right to the sponsors today because there's a lot of stuff to get through. We're somewhere in the next 25 minutes to a half an hour. Frank Sinatra Jr. is going to walk through the door, and I don't know what to say. Now, we had a site search yesterday from Jenna up in Rama.
Mm-hmm.
When she came in here, did she realize what was going on? Did she think this was some kind of thing?
No, I apologized to her.
Because, being in Etobicoke?
She came up the back entrance. It's like some scene out of a hellish movie, right?
It looks like they're like a crack. You're on the way to a crack house.
Yeah, but you know what she said to me? She said, well, have you ever gone in the back entrance of CTV? And I said, well, yeah. And she said, well, it's no better or it's no worse. And I said, well, that makes me feel better. But then I showed her the front entrance way. And I said, bring Mr. Sinatra that way because they're doing some renovations here. Mm-hmm. And he might, you know, get the impression like, hey, this is pretty cool. This is legit. Look, they're sprucing the place up.
And, you know, the guy has been a performer his whole life. And as we've, I think I said this a few times, we were talking to a comic or two. And I said, you know, one of the things about performing, you're always going in through the kitchen door around the back of the studio or something. So it's not like he's going to be, you know, nervous in this building, but it's nice that you guys have sort of tidied up in here and it looks somewhat respectable.
Bobby Kennedy got shot in the kitchen. Remember that? Just shows you.
I don't know what it shows you, but it just shows you.
They bring you in through the back way in the kitchen.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, you can do no wrong today, mister. Today is your day.
Yeah.
We'll explain why. So Frank Sinatra Jr. is coming up, and you told me you were briefed that we don't go right to dad first. We talk about him and who he is. And who he is, by the way, is as fascinating as anything.
He's got quite the career behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Significant, you know, some of it behind the scenes. So there's a fascinating story about Frank Jr. just as much as his dad.
Well, and I like the fact that we've been told, hey, listen, you know, we got lots of time here. Don't jump right into, you know, daddy, the chairman of the board. Mm-hmm. Don't jump right into that.
No.
Let's let that breathe for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to it because, you know, I mean, a lot of people are, I'm sure, fascinated to know that, you know, what it's like being the son of one of the most famous people ever on the planet.
Oh, there's so many questions we want to ask him. Like, as I said to you, like, what was it like coming home from school when his buddies were over? Dad's friend, you know, Sammy Davis was over. Or Dean Martin. Come on. Like, what did they, you know, when they sat around the campfire, what did they sing? You know?
Sinatra wasn't sitting around no campfire.
Oh, you don't know.
You don't know. You know what? Again, you are correct, sir. Jason Kinder is the producer of this program, and you seem like you've got something to say.
Yes.
Why are you wearing a toque?
It's freezing today.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool. It's like minus 18 or something in Toronto today.
Yes, but now you're indoors.
Yes, I could take it.
But you got toque.
Yes, I do have toque. But you're very astute. I did have something to say. I was just going to say Frank Sinatra Jr. had done more by the age of 24 than we'll probably do in our lifetime. If you look at his credentials and his career, he's fascinating. He'd performed in 30 countries, 47 states out of the 50. And he'd open for huge acts in Las Vegas and beyond.
Do you see what I'm doing right now?
Can you imagine?
I'm giving you the impression that I'm finding you fascinating.
You take your glasses off and you drifted off.
I did. Just for a second, Daddy had a nap.
I can't.
You were Tucker there for a minute.
I was.
Maybe I'm wrong. But
no, you can't be wrong today.
If I've done 47 states, I want to do the other three just to say I've done it.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd love to know what those three states were.
Maybe that'll be our first question. Yeah. Why only 47 states? And just look at us. Tell us to go fuck ourselves. Mike Wixon, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike Wixon.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Michael.
How are you doing?
Very good. Frank Sinatra Jr. is coming in.
That is so cool.
Isn't it?
He sounds exactly like his dad. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Do you think he'll perform? Is the guitar here? Could you play like
No, I'm
I left my heart in... Oh, no, that's Tony
that's
Bennett.
That's Tony, yeah. I'm not playing any...
Coffee in Brazil. Why? You could play something on the guitar and he could sing.
No.
Well, do you think he would go Aka?
I'm sorry, you were too long. Aka?
Uh-huh.
What is... I'm sorry, was a cappella too long a word for you? You had to shorten it?
We're not in the biz, Fred.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, cool cats.
We're fucking lame in here, Fred. Take it easy.
That's really funny, King. That might be one... You might have actually said something very funny. What year is it?
Yeah, we're not in the biz, Fred. I'm going to steal your joke.
So, Aka is short for acapella when you're a cool cat?
Oh, if you're a cool cat.
That's really funny.
You say Aka.
Well, for the rest, maybe he would sing acapella, but I'll tell you what, we're going to have to soften him up a good amount before he gets to that point. And to answer your point, question, Mike, he does sing very much like his father. In fact, we're going to play a little bit of him singing New York, New York, and it sounds very... Frank Sr.
Yeah.
I've seen him live. He's amazing.
Who knows? Maybe he'll come in here and feel comfortable like so many before him, and he'll ask to sing. Hey, fellas, hand me the mic.
I have a song
ready
in my heart.
Go.
No, maybe. I'll tell you right now. I will give you something. I will give you some money, and I'll get this young kid from Humber to give you a handy J. If he says the following, if he says, fellas, let me sing Aka. If that comes out of Frank Sinatra Jr.'s mouth, you are a handy J.
Somehow, I think this kid's safe. He's all right.
This poor kid. These kids don't know what they're getting themselves into when they ask to be in this room.
We spent the morning talking to this dude, Brendan.
What's your last name?
Ross.
Brendan Ross from Humber talking to us about radio, and it was a very interesting conversation. For me, I found it hard, you know, to try and not be too sour on the medium that launched this, but it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? You guys had a wicked run in radio, and if this is the beginning, I mean, I'm listening to Opie and Anthony yesterday, and they couldn't stop talking about how they couldn't wait to get off satellite radio because all the new cars are coming podcast ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, if you have an auxiliary plug, it's already there.
Yeah,
when you think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brendan, how old are you?
24.
24, and he's already given up on radio. Doesn't listen to it anymore. Weird, eh?
Well, it's not servicing.
It's not weird. It's sad, really. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I need your attention here for a second. Wixon and Kinga, well done, young man. Very funny this morning. Today.
He's got all the lines.
Get the calendar out. Let's go.
No, it's a little bit like Pachetto that way.
Yeah,
Over at Wiseheads. Once in a while, Rob will say something, and we'll just be stunned by it and be like, Rob, that was super funny.
He revels in it, too. That was me. I did that.
So I want you guys just to sit and listen to this for a second, because it's the most bizarre story of coincidence and fortune. And here's how I'm going to start it. This will be a little bit of a theme for us today. You ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? Now, even though this is your story, I play a weird little part in it.
Yeah,
so
you do.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah. Yeah,
with the phone call?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So I'm picking up Spencer yesterday, about 5 minutes before she's coming to the car. And, you know, you've been on those conversations with me, Mike, where I'm like, I can't talk right now, but she's going to get in the car. So Dave White, my best buddy, calls and said, hey, have you guys thought any more about where we're going to eat Friday night? And I said, oh, I'm going to wait and talk to Amanda, see what she says. Then all of a sudden he stops and goes, holy shit, some guy just got fucking smacked on the 401. I'm like, are you okay? He goes, it's Freddie P. I go, no way. He goes, no, it's Fred's black Honda. I'm like, come on, what? He goes, I'm backing up. Now, Dave's a former cop, and the last thing he says to me is, this is probably not a good idea. But I heard that basically as, this is probably not something good. So, you know what I mean? Like, I was kind of freaked out a little bit, because I'm thinking, 401, he's a positively identified Fred.
Wow.
And then he hangs up. I'm sitting there, I don't know what to think. And then 5 minutes later, he calls back and go ahead.
Well, I was okay. I just came off the 427. I was heading westbound on the 401. I was in the right-hand lane and just driving along, minding my own business. And all of a sudden, I felt a bump from behind. And then I started to swerve into the traffic, like across the three lanes.
Back end out sort of thing?
No, no, front end.
Pushed?
Yeah. As I came across the center line, or the center lane, I was broadside. And I looked up, and a transport truck was coming for me and hit me while I was spinning, but spinning forward. So he hit me, and then the glass exploded in my face, and it pushed me across the third lane. Now, again, I started in the right-hand lane. He clipped my driver's side rear, made me go across the lanes, mid-lane, broadsided by a truck that I saw coming, and that pushed me across the next lane and into the guardrail.
I know.
Yeah. So,
like, are you shitting me? No, is what I'm thinking.
Wow.
And the thing is, when I'm swerving and I look through my window, and all I could see was the big front grill of a huge truck coming at me. And I remember at that moment I had that thought, like is this it, or where is this going to take me? Like, what's going to happen to me right now? And then he hit me, but I was moving forward, so I guess he was braking as he hit me, and I was sliding forward, so it lessened the impact. But again,
he pushed you more than smashed in.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, so the weird thing that, and again, we have a million questions, so I've talked to Fred a few times, but the weird thing on it, again, can't understand is that how there was, first of all, how you get into an accident where your car is basically no longer in your control and you're okay, how the glass is shattering all over you and you're okay, how you go three lanes
now you're getting killed.
Now you remember the story with me and the kids six weeks ago. Same thing. I was in the left lane and almost got hit in three lanes, and there was nobody there. So how all that happens and you're okay, it can only be explained by this.
I think maybe he was watching us from the tower there at the airport, because that was within, because he had to be high to see.
No, he was very
watching
high.
Us.
God was high. God got high and watched us from a distance.
Howard, I can't explain it either, other than to say I was very fortunate, and the exhilaration I felt afterwards to be able to actually get out of the car and realize that, hey, I'm okay. Like, I don't even have a broken bone. I'm not even injured, so to speak. I'm a little bit stiff today, but that feeling of exhilaration, and then just going through my mind what just happened and how thankful I was.
Well, to continue the story, because I'll go back to the phone call I got from Dave as well. So you get out of the car and you see the truck. Now, I don't want to take anything away from you, but when you talked to me later, you thought it was two trucks.
Yes, I thought a guy clipped my rear on the driver's side and then made me swerve into the middle lane, and then another truck hit me. Although when I explained it to the police officer, he thinks, based on the marks on the car, that the guy bumped my bumper, pushed me forward, I started to swerve, he maybe started to slow down, and then ended up hitting me broadside as well. You know what? I don't know exactly. And unfortunately, and this is one part of the story that really bothers me about, you know, mankind and the way people are nowadays, he took off. It was a hit and run. He didn't stop, just kept going. Nobody else other than Dave stopped to see if I was okay or pulled over. Mm-hmm. One guy, to his credit, slowed down and he sort of looked at me like, are you okay? And I said, the guy that hit me, pretty sure it was a tractor without a trailer, on the right-hand shoulder in the distance, I think he pulled over and was still moving, and then decided, screw it, I'm leaving, and took off. So this guy that slowed down in his car said he would take off after the guy and try and get his, I assume this was sign language, he would try and get the license plate number, but I haven't heard back anything.
He just waited long enough to make sure that you weren't going to be obliterated, so then he left.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though, is he, you know, listen, lots of people have been in car accidents. You know, Sam Kinison, when he died, before he died, he actually got out of the car for a second and kind of swerved around. He had such massive brain injuries, but he actually was able to get up. So this guy doesn't know if he's killed you or not, really. He just knows that for a second you got out of the car. The fact that he left, I don't even understand that.
But as the cop explained to me, you know, this is another... This is more fallout from the economy, and you know, a lot of big companies squishing the little guy. They're driving trucks that aren't fit for the road. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys aren't licensed properly.
Or
they're
insured.
Driving or insured because they can't afford it, but they gotta keep some money coming in. Yeah. So all he wasn't surprised that it would be a trucker that would take off, because he said there's probably a great story, or not a great story, but there's a story behind this guy why he didn't want to stay at the scene.
Yeah. Okay, so back to waiting for Spencer. All I hear from Dave is something about this can't be good, and what he really is referring to is backing up along the shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm thinking this can't be good because of how, because when, you know, it's one of those things, he's talking, then he goes, holy shit, a guy just got, you know, smashed. You know, it's funny, we should call, we don't have time because Frank's on his way in five. Is it five?
Yeah.
We should call Dave tomorrow because he'll have a great story. Anyway, or maybe at the end of the show, I don't know. So I got 5 minutes of waiting to find out if you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all that's going through my head is, what am I going to do now?
Oh, no.
I'm thinking, well, that's great. That's, we have all this, we have all this stuff ahead of us.
Oh, great. It's humble and dead. Excellent.
It's humble and. But it's funny because I said that to Spencer, and to her credit, she goes, did you have any thoughts for Fred? I went, yeah. I said, wow. Of course I did. Uh-huh. So 5 minutes go by. It seems like an hour, and Dave calls me back, and he says, Fred's okay. And then he puts Fred on the phone. And this is only a few minutes after it's happened. And I wish I had recorded it, because you sounded like you were mad and you were upset, but you sounded like you were racing.
Uh-huh.
Like you were in the, it's still that adrenaline was running through you.
Yeah.
And it was funny because Spencer was listening to it. Like you're going, mm-hmm. and this guy, the fucking guy, two cars. But I could tell you were okay because you were already assessing what had happened. But.
Well, I was pissed off because you know the way insurance is nowadays. And a guy takes off and I'm thinking, you know, where is this going to take me now? It's my word against nobody's. But then it was explained to me by the cop and the insurance company. They can pretty well determine fault based on the markings on your car.
Well, and it's obvious that it's not your fault.
Oh, yeah. There's no damage on the front or the rear. It's side where he broadsided me. And then when I went into the guardrail, a little bit at the front.
Yeah.
But as I said to the guy, you know, that's not a scrape that you're going to see on my car. That's impact. He hit me broadside dead on. And at that minute that the glass broke, right, it's just so many things are going through your mind. But again, I'm just when I was talking to you and I sounded that way, again, it was adrenaline. Number one, because I was okay and it felt great to feel okay.
Yeah.
And I was annoyed that they took off. At first, I thought it was two guys that took off. Mm-hmm. Probably it was just one. I'll probably never know unless I could see the video that they have of the 401 in that area.
No, the way it sounds, though, it sounds like as you described. Yeah. He tapped you, and then as you got in front of him, he hit you.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that a maneuver that the cops actually use in high-speed chase? They hit somebody on one back corner to send the car in a direction that they can then impact.
I don't have an answer for that.
Where's Dave?
You know, was this guy pissed? Was he falling asleep? Or was he so high and close to me that he didn't even see me down there?
Yeah. No, I hate to ask this. I'm glad you're okay, but what kind of damage is there to the car?
Like, it's done.
Have you assessed it? Is it written off? Or?
It's a 2003 Honda Accord, which I loved.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're growing a new business like this, I've never been a car guy. I've always driven. Well, I just buy used cars cash and move on.
Well, that car was in good shape. I saw it yesterday. Great shape.
That's why I bought it.
I know, but a 2003 Honda, it's basically total if you kick it.
So that is the sad part. I absolutely adored that car. Plus, when you're building a business from the ground like Humble and I are, you know, I'm going to have to throw some cash out now to buy a new car, even after what I get from the insurance company. Yeah. And that's a drag right now because I didn't count on that expense because we're building this company.
We're building, Michael.
From the ground.
Michael, do you not see what we're doing? Yeah. We're building a business.
So
I was thrilled you were okay. You know,
thank you.
Honestly, it wasn't I wasn't thinking. You know, a lot of things went through my mind.
What about our big announcement?
Well, no, I mean, before I got to that, I thought,
this is going to eclipse that announcement.
Yeah, this is so awful. Because, in those minutes when I didn't know if you were okay, I called a couple times and Dave's not answering.
Yeah.
And all I'm imagining is that, you know, he's there and you're mangled and then what do you do? And then...
Well, if he was just disfigured but could be on the air, would he still be his partner or what?
No, that's what I said. I said, at least now that you're okay, could you not have been a little bit, could you not have broken a leg? You know, could we not have had some kind of like maybe a glass eye kind of vibe?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, your dad's, I need him on the 27th, not the 26th.
Okay, no problem.
Just remembered that.
Okay.
So
you're okay.
So that would have been happy. Cool, but not to the extent like you'd have to change my collection. colostomy bag halfway through the show or anything like that.
Although
we'd get an intern for that.
this portion of the humbleandfredradio.com brought to you by colostomies.
I need a change.
Yeah.
He types into his little
Howard,
machine.
Howard, I find that very interesting. Loving you.
But you go through all that. You go through all that corny shit, eh?
Because
I'm saying, corny shit. I'm saying to Delise last night, I said, I really don't want to have to be throwing out a few thousand bucks now on a new car. And she said, well, just be glad that you can do that because you could be dead. And I said, yes, but I'm not dead. Now I have to spend
the money. I'm not dead. I'm aggravated.
Yeah, I'm aggravated.
I'm alive and cheap.
Yeah.
I'm alive and angry.
Most of the time I'm alive, I'm aggravated.
when this happened to the girls and I, mm-hmm. honestly, for the rest of the day and for a few days after, I would flash back to those seconds. And we had talked about this, ironically enough, yesterday on the podcast about when things go wrong. We were talking about that Italian ship capsizing. Yeah. When things go wrong, they go wrong so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Of the times we talked yesterday, you said to me that it was describe about being out of control.
Yeah, he nudged me. That was the scary thing, because he nudged me, and there seemed to be a few seconds between nudging and losing control, so I don't know exactly what happened. But the car just started to go sideways, and you can't control it. And then, I vividly remember that. Like, I'm sliding out of control on the 401, for Christ's sake. And I'm thinking that. And then you see the truck.
How did this guy come up on your back and start pushing? Like, did he not see you?
I
guess.
Don't know.
Was there an exit right before? Like, did somebody just enter onto the... Did he just get on the highway behind you?
You know what, Mike? I'd have to go back and see it all.
Yeah.
People ask me all these questions. I don't know. I was just going home.
You know what Dave said?
Yeah.
Again, ex-cop Dave. Yeah. And let me say this, as I said to you.
And let me say something, too.
You couldn't have had a better guy. Now, again, remember how the story started? This is the irony of two of my best buds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the 401. Millions of people are going across it, and Dave happens to see Fred. And as I said to you, and I'll say it here, you couldn't have a better guy stop and be there for you. Like, honestly, whether you had been hurt or not, he's just one of those guys. That's the guy you want stopping when you've been in an accident.
And here's what freaked me out. He stopped on the other side, so on the right-hand shoulder, and then started coming across the 401. Like, and I'm just going, Dave, don't worry about it, man. But the cars were slowing because mm-hmm. whenever there's somebody against the guardrail, all the rubberneckers.
Right.
But he made his way across the highway, which was very nice, stayed with me the whole time,
mm-hmm.
emptied my car, put it into his vehicle, drove me home, gave me a kiss, and left.
I was going to ask you how you got home, and I just knew Dave would be the guy to do it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't leave until it was
Dave
all done.
Dave is watching us. Dave is the Lord.
Yeah.
Dave is the Lord.
He is watching over.
He's like a Buddha aviation sweet man.
He really is a great guy.
All right, we're gonna get back to that story some more. I'm
glad
thrilled
you're okay.
For you. Wow.
Thank you, Mike.
And as I said, we've now the closest I've ever come to being killed has been literally in the last 6 weeks. You almost got killed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this means? This is going to be a very successful venture.
Yes.
Or
I hope so.
Well, how do you? There's a slide rule on that.
I don't even.
Three close calls with death. Yes. And okay.
I haven't told my mother yet. I better phone her before she hears this.
No. You know what?
No.
Speaking of parents, I know June's going to be worried, but you should let her know you're okay. It's funny. Every so often on doing a radio show or doing this show, and you can relate to this. You know, once in a while you'd get a guest on the show and you'd think, oh, I can't wait to call my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't wait to call, somebody and say, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
And this morning I was getting ready, I was thinking, I would so have loved to be able to call my father today and say, hey, guess what? Fred and I are going to have Frank Sinatra Jr. on our show. And he's here now.
That's awesome.
Is he, that's is he wild. Ready? Does he have to get dressed? Getting him coffee?
Oh, I heard he wanted water. Get Mr. Sinatra whatever he wants.
Like, seriously.
So cool.
Like, not
that's
to be
so cool.
And not to be modeling, but I had that thought this morning. Like, I got to call one of my brothers. I got to call somebody in my family. Could I not have one parent that's not dead?
You can borrow one of mine.
Can I call your dad?
Call dad.
I just want to, because it's one of those things that our parents' age would just freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah, my earliest memory of Frank Sinatra Jr., and I couldn't remember exactly how or when, but he did summer fill-in for for the Dean Martin show.
That's right.
And I remember, like, how was I first exposed to him? And that was it. Because I love the Dean Martin show.
And I don't know if this is a fake memory of one that I've concocted, but I have a memory of seeing him singing with his father on some special, or maybe on Carson, or one of those things where he brought him out. And I remember this was around the time of Nancy Sinatra, these, you know, boots were made for walking, when he was in his late teens and 20s, and thinking, wow.
Could you imagine?
You're singing a duet with your pop.
Whatever it takes this morning, too, he'll have to do the video promo, even if we're not done. Summit.
Listen,
forget that.
No, I know. Okay. Here's what we'll do.
What will we do?
We'll put on a song if he has to go. Like, I don't know what his time is. Mm-hmm. And then while we're doing the song, we'll throw the lights on. We'll get him to do, hi, this is Frank Sinatra Jr.
Yeah.
Good God.
That's wild.
Good God, sister.
You know, God is watching us from a distance. For a long time, he's been a long way from us. But now he's watching.
You know, he likes an underdog.
We will talk about that tomorrow and that whole dimension to this, because I had written something on my blog about Tim Tebow, and, you know, we have poked fun at religion, and honestly, I don't have a lot of time for it, but it's funny when something like that happens, you're sitting there thinking, wow, like, given what I've thought and said over the past, shouldn't I have died? Like, oh, yeah, there's what you get.
Yeah, and I would say this is an argument that actually supports my argument, your argument, because the world is filled with it's a series of random instances, and people often talk about, is there a grand plan for things? And I will say this. I'll believe more in going around, what goes around comes around. Mm. You know, you and I have maybe in the last 6 weeks we've gone around in a positive way, and so instead of it coming around and us dying in those moments,
you guys helped save Christmas at the food bank. God wouldn't let you die.
The point is that maybe this is the coming around in a good way versus God playing us all like chess pieces. And yes, we saved the Vaughn food bank.
I also think I'd like to think that God has a sense of humor. Oh, my God. I hope God has a sense of humor.
Well, if you've seen me naked, you know he does.
Oh. Because who would endow somebody?
So you have faith? Mike, you have faith? You believe in the Almighty?
I don't know. No.
Listen, one of the reasons we should get Wixon back in tomorrow is that, did you know that our buddy Wixon, did you know that he was Jesse and Gene's producer?
I was their little boy on the road. I was their bitch.
He worked on the show with Jesse and Gene. Mm-hmm. And Jesse, of course, didn't make the show yesterday, and Gene did. And it would have been fun to have you on yesterday telling some Jesse and Gene's stories.
Man, they abandoned me in Jamaica. These guys were supposed to pick all these listeners to come on a trip with us. Halfway through the promo, Don Stevens, our program director, and one of the greatest program directors in the history of programming. He decided that they couldn't go because it was going to be ratings, and that I was going to take these listeners. So halfway through the promo, they started. The first half was all beautiful babes. Uh-huh. The second half, people who could barely fill out the ballot.
Really?
Because they weren't going. They just filled it up with people who were special needs in many special ways.
Yeah.
And that was indicative. Those guys, they had a lot of fun, but they were high maintenance.
Yeah, I left a message for Jesse. He never got back to me, so. But
that's
anyway,
fine.
That ship has sailed.
I know.
That train has left the station.
That flight has taken off.
Left the tarmac.
It's funny because I went on. Jesse's doing just fine. He's got this health network, and
isn't he selling magnets?
No. You got to go see what he's doing now. He's got almost an online health network, television network.
I've seen his show and
it's
heard
called
his radio
the
show.
Good Life Network or something. And he's got millions of people on, and he's doing just fine. I saw some pictures of him in his house in Vancouver, looking out over the. You know, it was he's doing. He doesn't need us.
His dad was the voice of Mr. Magoo. After Bacchus died, his dad took over.
Okay.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
GigSky has just launched the GigSky Travel Rewards Program. Go to the GigSky app or sign into your account at GigSky.com to check out the program. You know, GigSky's latest service offering includes mobile data while flying. When traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. For this, go to GigSky.com/aeromobile to see the list of airline partners. You know what it's all about. You know, having data with you when you're traveling at an affordable price is key. You know, whether you're pulling up directions, looking for restaurants, or just trying to find out how to get from one place to the next, GigSky is there with you. GigSky data plans prepaid, no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never throttled. GigSky.com. Designed for movers, Doer pants are built with technical design features and tons of stretch. With street-ready styles and washes, each pair supports a lifestyle of function and fashion. From Netflix binges to weekend scrambles, the biggest pitches and the coldest commutes, Doer has you covered. And right now, until the end of November, you can save up to 40% on the pants you'll never want to take off. And that never go on sale. Go to doer.ca, D-U-E-R.ca.
This is Humble and Fred.
All right, okay, so this has been approved.
What has been?
This theme that we're going to play.
Oh, okay.
We're going to let, I don't even know, if there's somebody that really doesn't, that really needs no introduction, other than to say he's been a performer for many, many years, and by far, I think, the most anticipated guest we've ever had on the most downloaded podcast in Etobicoke. Please welcome, among other things, the man who's singing the Family Guy theme, Frank Sinatra Jr.
Hey, Mr. Sinatra.
Family Guy.
Good to see you.
Frank's my name. How are you?
Frank, my name is Fred.
I'm Howard, Frank. Nice to meet you.
Mike. That's our partner, Mike.
And, yeah.
Have a seat there, sir.
Guys, settle down, and we'll all just... Do you mind if we call you? Said it's your name's Frank. We call you.
Yes, sir. That's okay. That's my name.
Because I'm sure that most people initially would default to Mr. Sinatra.
No, Mr. Sinatra was my grandfather.
Thanks very much for doing this. That's all I can say to start with. Thank you. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for inviting me to join you fellas today. You have kind of a fame up here, you know.
We do.
I'm surprised we haven't worked together before.
Really? That's quite the compliment.
No, I hear your partnership goes back a ways.
Yes, we've been together since 1989. Yeah.
Well, I have been coming in and out of Toronto since then, long before that, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Do you like Toronto?
Very much.
Would you just, Frank, would you mind just getting that microphone right in front of you? Because these ones are very directional.
All right.
And you've been working a mic a long time. Coming to Toronto to do different shows, I know you're playing Casino Rama, but where would you have performed back when you first started coming here?
Let me think. For many, many years, I used to come in and out of the city and play at the showroom at the Royal York downtown in the days when they had a very, very nice nightclub. And it was an ongoing experience. The last time was at Casino Rama.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I have been coming in and out of here for years. I actually used to live in Downsview.
What?
For a time, I actually had a kind of a residence there.
Huh.
And I'm no stranger.
what years would you have been living in Downsview?
I was there in 74. So, no, after that, 75, 76, 77. And there were just times that we would be in Canada constantly. And that was the most applicable place because here again we had the great big international airport, which would take us anywhere we had to go in North America, not just Canada. And it became just a question of convenience.
And I guess you've noticed the way this city has grown in that time, like 1974 to now. It really has grown up, this city.
We just left downtown and drove out here to be at your studio, and I was looking around. I said, my God, there was nothing here. When I came here as a child in the 50s, I mean, that out of the downtown area, there was not a building and very few streets that had more than two lanes on them.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that's time.
So why did you come here as a child in the 50s?
I was visiting my father in those days, mm-hmm. and he would be on the road working. Mm-hmm. And there used to be, I wish there still were, but there used to be entire tours that encompassed nothing but Canada. And I even did them in my career in the 70s again. I mean, we would start in the Maritimes and end up in Victoria.
Wow.
And end up in Vancouver. And it would take 3 weeks to cross the country.
And you would be doing a series of, in those days, nightclubs and big hotels?
No, even before that. I was singing with a dance band as a young man. And wow. In those days, there were still dances. There were still ballrooms and things like that. And we used to come to Canada. And if they didn't have, in a small town somewhere, if they didn't have a actual place, somebody would buy the use of an airplane hangar at a local airport, and they would set it up. They'd put tables and chairs in, and they would sometimes actually bring in a wooden dance floor, and this was in the North Country. Now, on the other side of the equation, in the southern states, we used to have to do those kinds of things in tobacco warehouses. Any place that was big enough.
Well, you obviously have a unique perspective on us as Canadians. It's one of the things that it's almost a Canadian thing to ask because we're sort of self-conscious about what others think of us. But having been in the country so long, what would you say? Like, what do you say to your fellow Americans sometimes when they might make a comment about Canada and you say, no, here's what they're really like?
I'm sorry, I really don't understand what you're getting at. It seems to me that Canada is Canada. It's always been kind to me, and I've been here for 60 years. And I can only tell you that my favorite expression, somebody I heard once said something about Canada. He said, Canada's breath is clean. The air is clean. The forests are clean. The meadows are clean. The cities are clean. When you compare to some of the places in the world, you may never have been there when you see them on television. And I mean big cities, going cities, modern cities in this day and age. They have never yet been through things like air pollution. The perfect example has got to be the Chinese People's Republic in the 21st century. Now that they have become industrialized, automobiles are flourishing and every machine age is flourishing, industrial production is flourishing and whatnot, and you go there and you're breathing this air in certain instances and it's black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there's none of that in Canada.
Well, by the way, I just want to interrupt you. You wouldn't be the first person that didn't know what I was saying. It's been a long career of that. And that's why, you know, we're podcasting over Fred's dining room table.
I can only tell you that it's always been kind to me here, and I have been I've been in places in Canada where a lot of Canadians have never been. It's amazing how few people have been in the Northern Territories, mm-hmm. and I can't believe that.
Well, it's funny you say that because I haven't. Like, this is the province of Ontario, and I've been from here to Florida and everywhere in between, but I have not been north of Sudbury in this province. And I guess we're pre-positioned, you know, the cold or, you know, there's nothing to see and it's stark, when nothing could be further than the truth, from the truth, because it's a beautiful province, and sometimes it takes tourists to tell
wonderful.
You that.
They're
yeah.
wonderful. I can remember doing tours in cities at Halifax, at St. John, New Brunswick,
mm-hmm.
and then going on to St. John's, Newfoundland, and getting stoned on screech up there. And things like that. And it was, I'm trying to remember, it was
they're
right,
great people, too.
It was right during an election. They were just electing a new premier in the Maritimes at the mm-hmm. time. But it's always been kind to me.
So you're here doing your show in Rama, and I want to talk sort of a little bit back and forth. If someone comes to see Frank Sinatra Jr. in 2012, how is that? What would that experience be like? And will you do the Family Guy theme in your show?
Well, we were talking about that. It's amazing the number of people who watch that show, and I have to tell you, Did you ever notice that different professions have different expressions for people who are not quite all there?
Yes.
Now, the people who put together Family Guy, the cigar makers have an expression. They say they are not wrapped too tight. Right? The tailors say they don't have all their buttons in the right holes.
Yes.
You've heard all that. When I was on staff for Jack Webb years ago at Universal Pictures.
Loved him.
The film cutters used to have an expression. They'd see somebody walking by who was a little out of balance, and they would say, he's five frames out of sync. All right? So the guys that do Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane, who I've known for years now, I've done that show several times. Mm-hmm. It's so funny when you see yourself as a cartoon, you know?
Right.
But the guys who do that show are the environmentalists, say, that the nature lovers, the hikers, they say the top to their canteens are missing.
Right? Well, I want to tell you, if I may, I'm walking out of my house last night. I said, by the way, girls, I have a 13 and a 17-year-old who have no idea who your father is. And I said, Frank Sinatra Jr. is going to be on the show. And they went, ask him about Stewie. And I'm like, whoa, right. Girls. I go, what? They go, yeah, because they watched the credits. They wanted to know who you were. They said, ask him about his duet with Stewie. I'm like, you're kidding me.
No, it's difficult. I'm telling you, it's not right. But they have to understand that Stewie, that voice, that's Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
And Peter, what's his name? Murphy.
Peter Griffin. They're all Seth.
Peter, that's all Seth MacFarlane. And he has got some characters on that show. I came walking in to do a sound overlay for that program one time, and I was introduced to Carrie Fisher, who does the show all the time.
Yeah, she's on the regular.
And I said, nice to meet you finally after all these years. I said, I remember the day you were born. She said, really? I said, oh, yes, I remember the day you were born. And she said, well, you were 13 when I was born. I said, well, now, wait a minute. Let me do some figuring here. That means, are you telling me you are 50 now? She said, yeah. I said, no, get out of here. I don't want to hear that. She said, no. I said, I refuse to even entertain the thought that Princess Leia is 50.
Yeah.
She said, well, she isn't, but I am.
Frank Sinatra Jr. is that voice. Frank, can we play a little bit of you singing with Stewie here?
Sure.
This is from the Family Guy called When We Swing.
How I love a girl who's flawless. Even better when she's braless. But the thing that tops it all is when we swing. And how I love a glass of Jack. Or anything with Robert Stack. But the gals we romance can't stay out of our pants when we swing. Yesterday had got me feeling kind of blue. So you left and we replaced you. Lady, you're fine. We love it when the ladies squeeze us. That's an easy way to please us. But we feel like freaking Jesus when we swing.
So when you first saw those lyrics, did you say, okay, I'll say that?
I'm surprised you fellas are playing that on the radio, actually.
Well, we do a lot of different things on this show. Language isn't a barrier on our show anymore.
That's very good. You know, there's things going on like that right now in the Supreme Court of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you've read about it.
Yes.
Ever since the advent of what was once called pay television,
mm-hmm.
Then it became cable television, then there's a satellite television and things like that. The television networks, I don't know how it works in Canada, but in the United States, they are screaming bloody murder right now. So they can get away with much more what they call reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are, in essence, not on the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
The airwaves are open to everyone. In the United States, they say, and the airwaves belong to the people of the United States. In Canada, they belong to the people of Canada. But if you have a something of a transmission of information that is not available to the public, that you have to subscribe to, like, say, pay TV, then you can get away with things. You're not covered by those rules. And the TV networks in Washington, D.C. are screaming bloody murder right now. And just remember, when television started, It was against the law to say pregnant on television. Milton Berle, Mr. Television, 1948 he started at NBC with the Texaco Star Theater, and he got busted. He was so incensed by some of the nonsense was coming down. He one time, now this is true, he did a comedy routine in which he played a 1920s prohibition gangster with the Gatsby suit, and he's talking on the old two-piece hourglass candlestick telephone, right? And you hear all kinds of noise of heavy motors outside and people yelling in megaphones, and he says, "Muggsy, it's Louie, they got us, the bulls are all around." Yeah. "Oh no, they're here. They have machine guns, they have shotguns, they have armored cars, they even have a heckalopter." A heckalopter. Can't say hell on television. Well, they busted him for that.
Get out.
The Federal Communications Commission busted him for that, and he was trying to poke fun at how ridiculous this was. And but remember, it was against the law to say pregnant on television.
Well, remember, I Love Lucy. Ricky and Lucy had single beds. A lot of those sitcoms. Yep. A lot of those sitcoms back there.
By the way, now Frank, he and I have single beds. We've drifted apart in our relationship.
I won't say I was. I won't say I was wondering, but I'm glad you have single microphones.
Exactly. Well, Frank Sinatra Jr. is here on the day that in the States and around the world is this this SOPA blackout, where a couple of the big websites, Reddit and some of these others,
are
protesting because they've introduced this bill in Congress that stop online piracy.
That's all well and good. You have to look at it this way. You fellas here are on the radio how many days a week?
Five days a week.
All right. So now what happens is this. You have a following. People like to listen to you. So out there in radio land, somebody is sitting there with a digital recorder, and they're recording your program. And then they press that program into compact disc, so they put it online somewhere over in Alberta or in British Columbia. Hey, oh, we got to get Humble and Fred. You know, we can sell you their shows, their better shows and everything. So what? Somebody is making a very good living off your efforts, and it becomes compounded when it's copyrighted material. Let's say, for example, some hit record albums. Piracy means they are not recognizing the rules on publishing, they're not recognizing the rules on musicians, and so on. So in other words, they're selling other people's efforts for free.
But what's your position on what the networks are going through in the United States right now? Do you think it should be open up? Networks should be free as well?
Well, we have to look at it this way. You fellas are asking some pretty heavy questions here. Let's look at it this way. We have those people who are the liberals, right? On the other hand, now we are facing something that is referred to where I come from as the new religious right. So they're saying is we don't want this kind of thing on television where our six-year-old boy and our nine-year-old girl can watch these things. When I was growing up, that was up to the families. The parents controlled what you were going to listen to on the radio or watch on television, as well as seeing in a movie, right? Or reading in a book, things like that. All I'm getting at is the fact that today we have, and here's this expression, latchkey kids who are not supervised because both parents have to work in order to make ends meet. And in this way, I think that's why cable TV companies, direct TV companies, and television manufacturers themselves, they have what are called parental locks on television sets and whatnot. Can it not be up to the families individually?
I totally agree with you.
So it should be.
Let's get away from piracy and copyright. And let's talk about, back to what I was asking you about. That when I go and see you at RAMA, what kind of show is Frank Sinatra Jr. putting on in 2012? And then let's go back to some of the early days of your career and working with your father and how your whole life has been sort of fairly public versus most of us. So back to RAMA, what kind of show is being put on?
RAMA is the show that I do there, is one thing that will apparently forever be different. Making the music of Frank Sinatra means making the music he made to sound like it sounded when he made it.
Explain.
Which explains meaning he used not a rhythm section, not a guitar player, not a quartet. He used an orchestra. An orchestra with all the colors of the orchestra, and this is what we do. On the stage, there are 38 of us.
Wow.
With all what it is, in essence, is a small symphony orchestra. This recreates those magnificent Nelson Riddle, Billy May, Don Costa orchestrations exactly the way they were made when they became famous. And this is what we can offer that the other shows really do not.
So it's not just that you sing your father's music. It's that as a conductor, you used to conduct the orchestra.
That's
so
right.
You've arranged these sounds to be like they were when your father recorded those songs, which is completely different than most of those guys.
That's the whole point. There are a lot of people who are singing Sinatra music now, and more power to them. Thank goodness that somebody has this attitude that this music must be preserved and recreated.
And it really is timeless. I was telling Howard before you arrived, my son, when he was 21, on his iPod, the whole Frank Sinatra selection. And I said, really? And he says, yeah, Dad, it's cool music. There are certain times, this is what I want to listen to.
Freddie, there is a buildup of younger people who are not only discovering Sinatra, but they're discovering the catalog. Nowadays, there's a euphemism which always makes me cringe. They call it the Great American Songbook.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow offends me when you consider people like Anthony Newley and Leslie Bricusse and James Last and people who just are not good old B-flat 110% pure Americans. They come from other places around the world. And then there is Senor Jobim and people of that nature who have contributed these magnificent songs. Can we just not say the great songbook?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there is a certain movement with young people who have recognized this.
Now, these guys aren't new, but they certainly sing, excuse me, in a Sinatra manner. Harry Connick Jr., Michael Bublé. Do you have any thoughts on their music? When you hear it, obviously, it puts somebody in the mind.
I hope they keep on trucking.
Mm-hmm.
It only happens now, and it began back in the early 1980s with a woman named Linda Ronstadt. She, as a child, had heard orchestrations from a man named Nelson Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to make a record album with Nelson Riddle and a big orchestra, which to the Rock and Roll 3 was absolutely revolutionary. It worked so well, the first album came out and immediately sold something like 600,000 copies. They ended up making two more albums like that. Now, when you consider people like Rod Stewart is making nothing but mm-hmm. these albums
mm-hmm.
of better music. And I have told Rod, I said, keep on trucking, pal. Keep on trucking. Keep on fighting for better content.
You know what it is about that music? It's just, it makes you feel good. Like a lot of the music nowadays can either be angry or hard or strident.
Or simplistic.
Or simplistic.
Or ignorant.
But even what Howard played from the Family Guy there, it just made you feel good.
Yeah, but you notice that you have to listen to the words and concentrate on mm-hmm. it.
This is
the point, fellas. I had a friend who died 20 years ago this past October, and the wisest mind I ever knew. Does the name Gene Roddenberry mean mm-hmm. anything to you?
Yes.
The man who created Star Trek, all right? He was condemned, smashed, condescended to, humiliated by the TV networks because they said to him, when he proposed a show of this kind of intellectual content, they said, quote, quote, your show, Gene, they used to call him Crazy Gene, your show is too cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
It makes people have to think. And as everybody knows, no one wants to think mm-hmm. when they're watching television.
Certainly not anymore.
Who was it that made the statement, television is chewing gum for the mind?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay. Gene kept pushing and pushing and pushing. He finally got the first Star Trek, which was a sleeper, absolute sleeper. It died in 3 years because of low ratings. And what since then? 5 television series, 10 feature films, right? In the half century since that time. And I said to Gene one day, what prompted you to keep pushing. And it took, so let's not kid ourselves, it took some pushing to get to some of the corporate hacks to open up their minds a little bit. He said to me, I can still see him, he said, Frank, the more I thought about it, the more convinced I was that somewhere on the other side of that picture tube, there was an intelligent life form waiting to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
This was his comment. So when we're getting into the simplistic area of music, and particularly by lyric, this is chewing gum for the mind again. We don't have to concentrate. We don't have to think. But when you're playing things that have content that is somewhat intelligent, you have to follow it.
But it, as Fred was saying, you know, it's no accident that, you know, his son or my daughters watched that episode and liked that music because, you know, nowadays, because there is so much access to, you know, music from whether it was the 20s or the 2012s, you can get any kind of music you want. I think people are actually more open to going back and listening to some of that stuff because there are smarter consumers out there now. My girls like rap music, but they also like your duet with Stewie.
I'm just hoping that they will prefer to get their minds out of neutral, which mm-hmm. is what rap music, I say, is the ultimate oxymoron. The fact is, if we get our minds and put them into gear, we have to think about things. I was watching a show on TV one night called Family Guy. And here is pure camp through everything, but we're talking about poor Peter Griffin here, who is being chased by some bad guys, and he ends up running into a cornfield while the villains are chasing him in a Stearman biplane. And I looked at it and I smiled, and one of the children, one of my little niece's friends, said to me, well, what's so funny about it? I said, that is a put-on, hon, on a famous Alfred Hitchcock movie many, many years ago. That was a scene with Cary Grant in which the bad guys chased him into a cornfield and were shooting at him from a biplane. And this is how sharp those guys at Family Guy are, that they remembered this mm-hmm. kind of thing.
You mentioned parental controls on TV converters or whatever, and parents being in control of what their kids see and watch. What were your parents like? What was your dad like back in the day as far as influence of music?
Let's start with television. Okay. I remember TV was in its infancy. I can remember My Little Margie and mm-hmm. Dragnet and Jack Benny before television. I can remember listening to them on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So now television comes in, and you fellas may have heard this expression. The grown-ups used to say, don't watch too much of that. You'll ruin your eyes.
Yeah.
Because the TV sets were archaic. They were blurry. They were terrible in mm-hmm. those days.
They were made of wood.
Real wood.
They were. Mm-hmm. Glass. Console. Really, yes. I remember my parents had an old, wooden console.
Right. And they were made of beautiful furniture. But the fact is, the cathode ray tube was in its infancy then. And they did not have the collars to focus a picture as well as they did. There was a company that came years later, still in the panchromatic days, before color. There was a company called Fleetwood that made the most accurate firing black and white picture tube, and the difference was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
They disappeared decades ago. But nowadays, I can only tell you, my godfather, when I was a little boy, when godfather was still a nice word, my godfather was a man in New York by the name of Manny Sachs. And Uncle Manny was the head of the RCA in total product, everything, and was running the NBC television network at the same time. He was the protege of General David Sarnoff, who founded RCA at the time. And one day, when I was 10, he took me to Camden, New Jersey, and there was a box the size of a double-door refrigerator lying on a table, and all these men in white lab coats were around it. And he said, Frankie, look at this. And I said, I saw a bunch of tubes and circuitry. I said, what is that, Uncle Manny? He said, that is a color television camera. And I said, a TV camera that makes color pictures? He said, yes, in about a year's time. in 1955, we're going to have color on television, finally. And today, you can go to any appliance store that you want and buy a camcorder that's high definition, that has all kinds of video effects and editing in it, and it sits in the palm of your hand. Mm-hmm. Even a cell phone that's well-equipped. Yeah.
Did the Sinatras have a color TV right away?
Oh, no. I keep thinking, I wish Uncle Manny were alive today to see,
to see this.
That. Right, yeah. No, but no. The color TV sets, there was one that was in the company office when I was a kid. And I remember one of the secretaries saying that thing was $3,000 American. Now that's 1955 dollars.
That's like $30,000.
That's right. Wow. And they were Sinatra himself. He said when he was ordering a TV, "Do you want a color set or a black and white?" He said, "Get me a good black and white." As his description was, "The color sets are just a nuisance."
Oh, wow.
Frank Sinatra Jr. is our guest, and before we run out of time, which we're going to. In a few minutes, because I know you've got other things to do, and we want to, again, thank you so much for coming in, but we'd be remiss if we didn't ask, you know, now that you've hung out with us a little bit, and you've got a feel for us, I hope, that, you know, when I ask this with all the respect intended, what has life been like? I don't ask this lightly. Your father wasn't just a famous American or a famous television or movie or singer. He is and was one of the most famous people on planet Earth. So, and you were, you have been, we've talked about your accomplishments, and you're obviously a very intelligent person. So you have must have, when did it occur to you, and how have you reconciled being the son of not just a famous singer, like some pop star, but of the one of the most famous people on the planet?
I tell people often, in my case, I tell them, look, don't mistake things. I am not famous. I just have a famous name. And in terms of fame and this business of celebrity, which is so overblown today, I keep thinking back and I tell people always, way back in the 1930s, Charlie Chaplin went to the premiere one night of his new movie, City Lights. And in the car with him, and this was black tie in those days for a premiere, riding with Charlie Chaplin was his friend, colleague, his very close friend, Albert Einstein, who went to love Chaplin movies. Mm-hmm. And he went to the premiere with Chaplin. The premiere finished. They walked outside. The fans of Charlie Chaplin absolutely mobbed him. And damn near tipped the car over when they were leaving. And Dr. Einstein was actually very frightened. And as the car pulled away, Chaplin was waving at everybody. He said, "Charlie, what does all of this mean?" And the story goes that Charlie Chaplin slowly turned around and faced the most famous scientific mind in history and said, "Nothing, Albert, nothing."
No, I understand what you're saying, and it's easy for people on the outside to imagine that your life is one thing, but you live your life, and so on the inside, it's something different.
What it has to be is this. Somebody in my position, and it took a lot of years to come to the conclusion, do not give in to believing that distortion, in fact, is truth.
Right.
You cannot believe that somebody once said the enemy of truth is not falsity. The enemy of truth is distortion. Anybody who ever listens to our politicians anywhere you go is going to be able to attest to that if they think about it. But distortion is the enemy of truth. And when you live in this kind of a life, to believe in all of this celebrity and everything else is a distortion. That is not where the real world is. I remember when I was a kid and I started singing with dance bands, I think I had just become 20 years old, and I made my first world tour, traveling with dance bands, and I went into places where there was poverty like I hadn't even imagined. And I said, "So this is what the real world looks like." You better make a real good memory imprint of this so that you have a true picture rather than a distorted picture.
What was life like, as Howard said, in your situation? Could you say you live the life of the average American kid, or was it different? Because I think of things like you come home from school or whatever, and your dad's buddy is over, and it's Sammy Davis Jr. or it's Dean Martin. It's like, is that the way it was?
That's the way it was.
Man.
That's the way it was. Jesus, wonderful, because those people were very fun. Dean Martin is one of the funniest people who ever lived. He was absolutely witty.
And he really didn't drink as much as they said,
Of course, he couldn't have. He could never have done so. That was part of the act. Jack Benny really wasn't cheap and really didn't drive a Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he didn't have a guy locked in the safe down in the basement.
But, Frank, you can imagine why we're asking this. And, again, it's a pretty big honor for us to speak to someone like you. It's fascinating because, you know, our kids come home from school and, you know, once in a while they say, what does your dad do? He does this radio show with Fred. But in your case, you come home from school and there's Dean Martin. He might be noodling around with your dad. You guys are, and it's just sort of your normal is something that we would all be fascinated by.
They were the living embodiment of the intellectual message on Family Guy when they got together. They were absolutely insane, the stuff they used to do to one another. One time, who was it? One of the guys had extensive bridge work done. Total dental reconstruction. And the boys got together and sent him a get well present. They sent him 2 pounds of peanut brittle. And then one time, one of the guys had a terrible double hernia operation, and Dean got together on behalf of he and his friend Sinatra, and he sent him a get well present, a set of barbells. And this is the kind of thing that you always do.
When you first started singing, though, I mean, it's interesting. You turned out to be such a wonderful singer. When you first started, though, knowing your father had been this amazing talent and a world-renowned voice, were you a little intimidated to start singing around the house?
I never did sing around the house.
Not even in the shower?
Well, now that's classified.
But when you first started singing, what did your dad think?
I don't really know, because at the time when I started singing with a dance band, he said, can he sing? Because he had never heard me. And it just became a point. I was in music school. And one day, I did not graduate from music school. I did not take a degree. And one day, I ran into a professional musician. I was listening to some people. He said, what are you going to do, kid? I said, I want to make music like you. He said, well, what are you doing about it? I said, I'm going to be a junior in music school. He said, do you know what a degree in music is for? I said, well, I imagine education. He said, no. A degree in music is if you want to teach high school band. That's what you take a degree in music for. If you want to be a player, you want to be a real musician, you don't need so much the college education. You need an internship. And I had an opportunity at the age of 19 to sing with a dance band, and I was pretty bad. They hired me, and I had a 3-year internship with a dance band, and then went out with my own little show with a small group. And this was the internship. And I don't know, I still think a college education is the best thing, but there is something else that I have heard over and over again. You can sit in a classroom for 100 years, and you can study meteorology, air regulation, aerodynamics, aeronautical engineering, avionics, and everything else. But until you sit in that chair and you have your hands on the yoke and your feet on the rudder pedals, you are never going to learn how to fly an airplane. And this is what this man imparted to me in 1962.
And it wasn't your father. This advice came from...
No, this came from outside.
So it wasn't like your dad helped produce a protege or anything?
Not at all. No. He wanted me to do what I felt I knew how to do. I had studied music since the age of 5. Mm-hmm. And as it happens, I felt, gee, I better think about getting a job one of these days. the clock is running here, and I'm now halfway through college. I mean, the time as a student is just about over with. So I decided to go into what I felt I might be able to do.
At any time in all the years that you
And I mean, you must have learned something because you conducted an orchestra, which is not a not something you just do. But in all those years, and you don't have to, if you don't have an answer for this, that's fine. Did you ever hear from or through the grapevine or friends of your dad saying, you know what, the kid's got some chops, he can do this?
It happened all too infrequently. Little by little, I began to learn rather informally, I must say. I was a pretty bad slowpoke. You know, some people, learning comes easy. Mm-hmm. I am not one of those people.
We're still trying to do this, learn how to do this. Frank Sinatra Jr.
Can I ask a quick question?
Mike Wixon.
How many shows a year are you doing right now?
Not enough.
But you're on the road a good chunk of the year?
Not anymore, because of the fact you're asking me a straight, honest question. I'm going to give you a straight, honest answer. The depressed economy everywhere you go has cut down a whole lot of diversionary entertainment for people. There just are not that many jobs now.
And I imagine 38 guys on stage is not a cheap show to produce.
That's the way it is. That's one of those things. But if we're going to be faithful to the reproduction of this music, then let us be faithful to it. That's what it takes.
That's a big deal. If you've never seen a live orchestra, which many, many people have not, it fills the room with different sound than anything else.
And, you know, you mentioned off the top the old ballroom at the Royal York. I mean, do you miss those days, too?
I miss them very much.
Everybody dressing up, coming into that room.
Absolutely.
It was a formal night out. Not necessarily that it was filled with cigarette smoke, but that's the image that I get. Everybody had a drink in their hand.
It was that period of time.
Can we ever recapture that? Or is
I don't know.
Somebody can put a spin on...
You have to talk to a sociologist. To me, I'm just a thick-skulled musician.
Frank Sinatra Jr., I can only thank you so many times, but it really has been an honor to meet you. Now, if you don't mind, what we are going to do is we're going to play a song. It's you singing your father's signature tune. And then during that, do you mind if we do a promo every day on a little video on my Android phone? Basically, if you wouldn't mind being the face of our promo today?
This is Frank Sinatra Jr., man. What are you thinking about?
it really is high quality, and we put it on our website.
That's fine. That's fine with me. I just, here again, I want to remind you, fellas, that I am not famous. I just have a famous name.
No, I know.
Yeah.
You're a very nice man.
You are, and you can say that all you want.
And a hell of a compelling interview, too. I mean, wow.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much. What a real pleasure to meet you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for inviting me to your house today.
All right. That's Frank Sinatra.
And if you're ever back in town, we'd like to have you back to our place.
Hold on a second. Jason, what? Hold on. Yes?
Saturday night, Casino Rambler.
Yes. We'll let everyone know that Saturday night, there are still plenty of tickets available for Frank Sinatra Jr. Casino Rambler. Thank you, Jenna.
Go and see this show.
Do it.
Because it's not like something you're going to see in many other...
If you don't, we will find you.
And the show is called Sinatra Does Sinatra?
Sinatra Sings Sinatra.
Sinatra Sings Does Sinatra.
Well, here's a little Sinatra singing Sinatra.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
Bodog.eu/sports. You know, if you want to bet any of the major league sports, you can. It's all there, and they have a poker room, all sorts of ways to wager and have fun with sports, you know. Responsibly lay down a few dollars.
Right.
So whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, or a casino player, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Bodog.eu/sports.
Yeah, retirement Sherpa. Tim Niblett, a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. The Sherps, he's the guy. We know several Humble and Fred listeners who have jumped on board, and they're very happy with the results. Really, at any level, you want to build a program, you know, build a portfolio, Tim is the guy that will guide you through it, give you all the advice you need. Again, you see all those commercials for those companies where you do it yourself. Well, you know what? You can never measure how much more you could have made with the right guidance, right? Well, Tim will help you through that. And if you have an existing portfolio, same thing. Tim will have a look, tell you whether you're on the right track. And if you are, he'll be straight up with you. No obligation, no strings attached. He's the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
This is Humble and Fred.
I'm going to tell you right now, that was surreal. That was completely,
wasn't it?
Utterly surreal.
You know what the wildest thing is?
No.
His face. He looks a lot like his father. And
no, I agree.
His father, towards the end, you know, had the seemed was a rounder face and the gray hair, and that's Frank Jr.
Yeah, that was Frank Jr.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
very
well,
very analytical man,
very bright guy.
Yes.
I'm surprised, a little surprised, that he didn't want to sing ACCA.
Oh right. Yeah. Well, I didn't ask him.
Doesn't that no? But I hey, listen. I the bet was if he spontaneously says I want to do a little ACCA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, where's your, why isn't his mic working?
You know, he would have stayed longer too.
Here, what, guess your mic not working?
I don't know.
No.
Why isn't that
no,
mic working?
No.
We're all up. Can you talk? What is going on here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Don't worry about it right now.
Doesn't matter.
He was working a few seconds ago because he was talking to the great Frank Sinatra Jr.
That was so cool. Thanks for letting me ask that, guys.
Yeah. I don't know why it's
you know, he has a point, though, about that, about having a full orchestra.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that'd be cool, man.
That was just surreal. And now, okay, when, I hope, like, he's not going to hear this, is he?
I don't know. Why?
Well, because I think he believed we were on the radio.
Yeah, but how old would he be?
69,
you know, I mean, he's of an era that he really totally hasn't got his mind around how this works, and
I don't
know. I didn't want to correct him.
No, neither did I. No. And I thought, and it was funny because at that point, it was I just thought best we don't even. And we both changed the subject at the same time,
mm-hmm.
which was good.
Yeah, when he said people could take this podcast and use it for their own use, I was like, well, that's a bit of a stretch. Yeah, number one, it ain't going to happen. Number two, if it does, we'll kill them.
We'll find them. He, at a couple points there, to your point about looking like his father, because I'm sitting right directly across from him, I'm thinking, this is like talking to Frank Sinatra.
It's like talking to the chairman. Like, yeah.
And it,
what
to
a
me,
classy guy. Like, wow.
But it gets back to what I was saying about wishing my mom or dad was alive to be able to call mm-hmm. now and say, guess what I just mm-hmm. did for my little job mm-hmm. today? Because it was amazing.
And we tried to go the dad route several times there. You know, he seems to steer it away.
That's fine.
More than he keeps it there.
Why,
but again,
why do you
we
think
try.
That, why do you think that is, though? I was trying to figure that out.
Well, because, you know, he's his own person, I guess. And he answered what we asked him, but he would immediately take it to a different thought.
You know, Mike, I'll tell you what I think it is. When people have, and none of us can know what it's like inside the world of those people. And he can say he's not famous all he wants, but he has been around that world his whole life. It's all he's ever known. So to him, and he wasn't rude about it, it's just been his normal forever. Mm-hmm. So for us, you know, having Sammy Davis over to watch the game would be, you know, pretty cool, especially mm-hmm. now considering he's dead. Mm-hmm. But I mean, but for him, it would have been just the daily event.
And, you know, at one point I was going to say, so your relationship with your dad, was he around a lot? Well, I think we know the answer to that question. No.
Yeah, I just
he's a worldwide movie star. And obviously, his dad didn't take a lot of interest in his musical career in his late teens. Yeah. I mean, he made that quite obvious. So there's no really use belaboring that end of it.
It just felt to me like there was a distance between him and his dad, like I tried to build between myself and my children.
Yeah, exactly. I wish there was that distance between me. At age 19,
1963 at Harrah's Lake Tahoe, he was kidnapped. This occurred a couple of weeks following the assassination of JFK. Sinatra was released 2 days later after Frank paid the $240,000 ransom. Now, there's an interesting story that goes with this. In order to communicate with the kidnappers via payphones, because that's what they did, his father carried a roll of dimes throughout the two-day ordeal, which became a lifelong habit of Frank Sinatra's. Now, I read that. We all had this in our little prep, thanks to Kinga, but I didn't know how to broach that subject. Like, okay, you're at Rama, but how about being kidnapped?
Yeah,
you know, it's hard.
That might have been a good one, actually.
I think they should have segued that way.
The only thing I was going to say about that, because I found the role of... Was it quarters?
Roll of dimes.
A roll of dimes in his paw, because I often do that, but in my front pocket, so people think I have a boner. Yeah. That's all I can say about that.
I'm just glad you moved the potato from the back to the front. Well advised.
We should have said, hey, listen, we carry coins in our pockets to make us look like we're hung.
Who set up that interview, by the way?
The Kinga.
Way to go, Kinga. That was a great interview,
thank
man.
You.
Were we wrong for not going after the kidnapping aspect?
Did he ask you to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, you set me up for me. You sicken me.
Please.
You sicken me. Did you actually say to him, why don't you say...
Could you blow me on the air a bit?
Did you actually do that?
That's say,
can you get the... Do we not...
You know me well enough. Did I do
wow.
that?
Yeah, you did. You do that?
Sure did.
Wixon?
Yeah.
You're disgusting, Wixon.
He sure did.
Look at me.
No, he didn't.
Wixon?
Yes, you did.
No, he didn't.
No.
He did?
Sure yeah. did.
Do you think
I
he
think
did?
He did.
I don't
How'd
know.
How'd your video
right now? I don't know.
He did not.
I'm not going to play that game, but I'll tell you this.
He did not.
Thank you very much for hooking us up with Frank Sinatra Jr.
Yeah. But should we have...
You did. He did, too.
He sure did. Oh, my God, he did.
Should we have pursued the kidnapping? Because I saw it, too, and just the way it was going, and I had been briefed that not often does he speak about it.
Yeah.
And I'm... To me, it was... I almost wanted to do it as a test. I thought, is he comfortable enough now that he'll talk about the kidnapping?
He really liked you guys. I could tell. Like, he was wide open to a bunch of stuff.
Start calling me Freddy.
Yeah, Freddy. Freddy. I love buddy. That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Yeah, exactly. When I stand here by myself, you never see...
No, me. You have some chick with you. She seems very pretty. What are you... Is that...
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Rob's suddenly not the prettiest one in the room.
Exactly.
We're just not used to seeing Rob next to a beautiful woman that he hasn't paid for.
They're not beautiful. I've seen those.
No, I know. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because Jenna from Casino Ram is someone that I was dealing with a lot at Boom and Easy Rock, and we have to thank her because, you know, she thought enough of us to answer the call from Kinga Louie here, and that was very sweet.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it was.
I don't know what you two have got going here, but
he just wanted me to promote him a bit. That's all.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, a little.
He did. All right. We got a couple things to do here before we get done. One of them is our little. How do I explain this? Where'd you send this to me?
To Humble.
No, I know. Here we go. TV ideas.
TV ideas.
Okay, so I need you guys. We're going to do these, but I need to do them cleanly. And then we're going to shut the show down. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
what about Hummel and Fred report? We didn't get to that.
No,
again today.
Well, I know. I know we didn't.
We got to get that stuff over to them.
I know. Well, I can do it. If we do it tomorrow on Thursday's show.
Okay, we're definitely doing it tomorrow.
Then I will be able to edit it.
Because maybe that can be the first segment tomorrow.
Let's
just some
do
fun
it.
And hilarity.
You know what?
Although Kelly's going to be here.
I know.
All right.
Now, back to the lack of fun and hilarity. I thought it was cool with him. I mean, I tried a couple times to sort of have a little fun, and he didn't really laugh. There was about one laugh at the end. What was... Oh, I can't even remember what it was, but he actually laughed once, which I...
Well, mm-hmm. He's a pretty funny guy. He's dry, but...
He's very dry.
He had a couple of really funny moments in there as well. Like,
I don't know. I think I was a little intimidated, to be honest, talking to Frank Sinatra Jr.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like I am talking to you sometime.
I feel the same way.
No, do you?
You know, Jenna would probably give us tickets to see the show Saturday night.
Oh, easy.
I hinted.
That'd be great.
No, we could get tickets.
Really?
Yeah, I just said, are there any tickets? She goes, yeah, but probably not after this press is all done. This was his first stop.
Yeah, but she probably thought you meant for public consumption, not from insider
that's
perk
true.
Shit.
Yeah, perhaps I wasn't.
Okay, I'm just going to... Mike, will you do me a favor? Do you have your phone with you?
Yeah.
Can you just time these for me?
Yes.
Okay. No, I don't have my phone.
Kinga, can you time this for me, buddy?
Sure.
Can I get your stopwatch ready? Let me know. Give me like a 3, 2, 1. Here we go. And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is like a sneak preview of some stuff you're going to be hearing. We can't tell you where, but we just wanted to get it like on the podcast so that we can take it off the podcast. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Okay, I start the third, remember.
Yeah, yeah. What was this in between? We can talk, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's right. We can. Who's to stop us?
Can edit the stuff.
It's okay. Who's to fucking stop us?
Fred, I'm just so happy you're alive. Oh, I'm so happy.
Oh, the busting glass. I still see it, Howie.
And that's right. Because anyway. God is watching us.
You ready, Kinga?
Yep.
3, 2, 1,
go.
It's, oh, sorry. Let's try it again.
You don't go on one.
When do I go?
What's
after
the matter?
One?
Yes. Okay. I go one, go, and then you go.
Okay, UK, where you go?
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
It's a... Fuck, man.
Jesus.
What's the matter?
He was pretty clear.
Wait till
that
he
time.
Says go.
Yeah.
You're going to say go, or do I...
And then no, 3, 2, 1, go, then you go.
If you okay. were an offensive lineman, we'd get penalized all
That's
day long.
That's a legal
long.
Procedure right there.
Okay, all right. Jump on me.
3, 2, 1, go.
It's Humble and Fred. You know those radio guys that used to do radio but are now doing a podcast?
Yeah, it's just like being on the radio.
Really?
With a lot less music and a lot more stuff we want to talk about.
Time?
Is the inflection
time?
Right there?
Liked it. Well, how much time?
You're 12.7.
Got to do it a little quicker.
Okay.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1, go.
It's Humble and Fred. You know those radio guys that used to do radio but are now doing a podcast?
Yeah, it's just like being on the radio.
Really?
With a lot less music and a lot more stuff we want to talk about.
9.13.
Nice. Okay.
That was a Ben Johnson.
I like it. Here we go. Let's do number 2. Humble and Fred radio on us. Okay, here we go. Ready?
3, 2, 1, go.
It's Humble and Fred. Radio didn't want us, but podcasting does.
Well, not really. Nobody hired us to do this podcast.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And nobody's paying us either.
Very right.
8.7.
Let's do a little longer. Maybe a little longer version, okay?
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
It's Humble and Fred. Radio didn't want us, but podcasting does.
Well, not really. Nobody hired us to do this podcast.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And nobody's paying us either.
Even writer. Fucking A.
9.5.
Nice. 9.5? Oh,
nice.
Okay.
Here we'll do it. Cocky Luta.
That's right. See, that part won't be part of this thing we're doing, but it's fun to go Cocky Luta, fucky, fucky.
There you go. Frankie sings
that. No, now that Frank's gone, we can get back to because I didn't. That's the other thing, too. That's the other thing. I didn't want to sort of let on that we can swear because then he'd be like, hey, you guys are on the radio, you're swearing. I'm like, hey, we are. Are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
It's Hummel and Fred live from our second floor podcasting studio in the west end of Toronto.
You make it sound so impressive.
Well, it is impressive. Look around. This is beautiful.
Fred, it's a small, dingy room, and we're broadcasting on your dining room table.
Yes, but it's a beautiful table.
That's got to be like an hour long.
13.6.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Just wanting to just go
like
take
feel
a
of it.
I do too, but go from our second floor studio in Toronto or something. Then take a couple words out.
Oh, okay.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold
wait,
on a second.
We're editing.
It's Hummel and Fred live from our second floor. Oh, pod just taking.
Or just say live from our studio in Toronto.
Okay, right. Okay. Okay. Anytime?
Yeah, take the Hummel and Fred out. That eats like 3 seconds.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Just add in cock. Just go, it's cock.
3, 2, 1, caca.
It's Hummel and Fred live from our studio in Toronto.
You make it sound so impressive.
It is impressive. Look around. This is beautiful.
Fred, it's a small, dingy room. We're using your old dining room table.
Yes, but it's a beautiful table.
11.56.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's try it one more time.
Yeah, we can do
Here
it.
We go. One more time. Mm-hmm. This is awesome.
3, 2, 1, get it.
It's Hummel and Fred live from our studio in Toronto.
You make it sound so impressive.
It is impressive. Look around. This is beautiful.
Fred, it's a small, dingy room, and we're using your old dining room table.
Yes, but it's a beautiful table.
Okay, there was a little click. I like that one,
10.7.
Though. Yeah, okay. One more time.
By the way, that click is removable because nothing was happening when it happened.
Okay. It's 10.7, okay? Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Okay, do one more,
one
Kinga.
More?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three. And then let's not forget that this particular promo was brought to you by Kinga, who got us Frank Sinatra Jr.
Mm-hmm.
How's that for a little commercial?
Can you get us Sammy Davis Jr.? Jr.?
That's funny.
I don't know if he has
we
a driver.
Do that.
You know, this is.
Can you get us all the Rat Pack Jr.?
You know, this was our first guest that had a driver in a black limousine waiting out there for the whole interview.
Holy
that was cool.
Fuck.
That's pretty
that
cool.
Was cool.
Here we go.
One day.
Right.
One day we'll be there.
Yeah. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
It's Hummel and Fred live from our studio in Toronto.
You make it sound so impressive.
It is impressive. Look around. This is beautiful.
Fred, it's a small, dingy room, and we're using your old dining room table.
Yes, but it's a beautiful table.
10.66.
Okay, that's perfect. It. Beautiful. Why are very nice? That's okay. Wrap.
Oh, look, it's into the
what the hell is going
doing
on?
That?
This is the
thing.
Hey, is the show over and I missed it?
No, the show's still on.
Oh, good. Can I just say something?
Yes.
Twitter. Yes. Do you follow the Twitter?
Go ahead.
Never mind.
No, do it. It's pretty funny, actually.
Please follow.
Yes.
At Advice Gone Bad. Advice Gone Bad.
At is Advice Gone Bad.
Please.
All your questions, anything you want to know, you follow at Advice Gone... Who?
Advice Gone Bad. Yeah.
And is this then yours? You ask questions.
Is this yours? Thing?
I just started it up, and I need as many people participating as possible. Any advice, and
he will give it to you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. I know there's a lot of this things people wouldn't say now.
And, yeah.
And yeah.
Or shit. Well, it started with shit girls say, and then it became shit black girls say. And you know what? If you want to laugh, shit girls say that the series of videos on YouTube.
No,
is
but
now
there's a whole series of shit that people wouldn't say, exactly. And then you say what they wouldn't say.
All right. Let's not forget.
We can't keep up.
See? God is watching us. I say.
God is watching.
And I'm telling you now. Because we could all have been dead. Dead.
From a distance. That's. I know you love your Bette Midler. That's why I did that.
I do. I saw her in Vegas. It was a great show.
Yeah, she's pretty funny, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Her album, The Divine Miss M, from the 1970s, I still play it. I love it.
She's the Wind Beneath My Wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like her early stuff is great.
Kinga first heard that in a bathhouse.
Awesome.
In Turkey.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was awesome. That was a fun show. Kinga, thanks for doing it and producing it and getting this Frank Sinatra Jr.
Yeah, you're cool, man.
Anytime, I love you guys.
How are you going to top that, you pecker?
Damn it, Doyle.
Mm-hmm. No.
She's in tomorrow,
yeah, but oh, I'll talk.
Dude,
come on.
Back
to the Jesse and Jeans.
Stop. Back what? To the Jesse.
Stop. You think Dabnet Doyle's coming on because you booked her?
What?
Is that what you think? You think you got Dabnet
Doyle?
No,
I'm just naming the person coming up tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
All right. You really take any chance to get me here?
No, not at all. Just, you know.
Do you want to arm wrestle?
Let's keep things straight.
let's be honest. Dabnet Doyle's not... She's coming on because it doesn't fucking matter. She's going to be here. She's one juicy chick. She's like super juicy.
And Mark Hebscher as well.
And Mark Hebscher is also very, very juicy. All of that on tomorrow's show, unless one of us is killed again.
Oh, no.
So good. Just a little lower. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Humble and Fred Show is a production of HumbleandFredRadio.com. Any reproduction or redistribution in whole or in part would be, well, surprising. Bye.